Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and unlike in a lot of states, third parties can play an important role in New York State's elections because, unlike in most other states, they don't have to rely on finding their own candidates to go up against the Democrats and Republicans. New York allows what's called fusion voting, where major candidates can run on several different party lines, and it can be important. Mayor Bloomberg's initial victory in 2001 is credited largely to the fact that he ran on the Independence Party line as well as the Republican line in this overwhelmingly Democratic city. What if people could have voted for Ralph Nader's goals without actually diluting Al Gore's count if the Green Party had endorsed him that year? But that importance can lead to criticism for being less about the ideals and issues of their party's name and more about getting patronage from grateful politicians. I'm joined now by the heads of the three major minor parties in New York: Dan Cantor, executive director of the Working Families Party; Mike Long, Conservative Party of New York State chairman; and Frank McKay, chairman of the Independence Party of New York State. Welcome, all of you. Thank you very much for coming on today.
Thank you.
And do we have Michael? Can you hear me? Frank, can you hear me?
This is Frank. I can hear you fine, Brian.
That's great. And Michael Long, are you there?
I can hear you loud and clear.
All right. Now, your three parties have a guaranteed place on the ballot because you've managed to meet the 50,000 vote minimum in the last gubernatorial race. So let's go around and very briefly, no long speeches here, but very briefly, tell us what you feel your party stands for today and what you're hoping to get by endorsing, in two of your cases, Cuomo, and one of your cases, Palladino. Dan Cantor from Working Families?
Sure. So our view is that people who voted for Obama and the Democrats 2 years ago, but who are somewhat disappointed in what has transpired and haven't seen more change, should vote on the Working Families line as a way to underline their desire to help the Democrats defeat the Tea Party, let's say, but also signal the Democrats that we want them to stay true to their progressive ideals.
And for the Conservative Party, and you've endorsed Carl Palladino, Mike Long?
Correct. And I'll just steal a line from my friend Dan Cantor, that those people who are disappointed in the Obama administration and understand that what he meant was changing the face of America, if you're fed up with the deficit, you're fed up with spending, high taxation, you're fed up with the dysfunction in Albany, the way you send a very strong message is to vote on the Conservative Party line and send that message to all the elected officials in Albany and in Washington.
And Frank McKay, the Independence Party, has also endorsed Andrew Cuomo this year. How come? What do you hope to win? You hear, they were very clear, Dan and Mike, about what kind of a statement they hope voters will be making by voting on their lines. How about with respect to the Independence Party?
Well, I certainly hope that people come out and support Andrew Cuomo, and I feel that people who like Andrew Cuomo as a leader, as a candidate, will support him on the independence line, especially those who may not find a comfort level voting on the Democratic line. And similar to the two gentlemen that I'm on with, they have specific agendas for their party. We do as well. It's just not a social one. Our party hopes to establish a third major party in the country, a party that will take no stance on social issues and allow a candidate to speak directly to the American people, whoever he or she may be, who's running for president, or in this case, the voters of New York and Andrew Cuomo and the rest of our ticket. The candidates will speak directly to the American people without interference from us on how they should feel about social issues.
When you say social issues, do you mean any issues?
Well, I mean, you know, for example, same-sex marriage, school prayer, gun control. These are issues that we feel a candidate or a voter, for that matter, should talk directly to their
right.
spouse or their significant other, their family members, clergy if they want, but certainly not a political leader.
So the Independence Party does not have an ideology around those particular issues. Do you around any other issues, spending or whatever?
We are completely in favor of anything that empowers the voter. Initiative and referendum would be our signature issue. And, you know, quite frankly, if we could ever get it in New York State, I think it would change the world. It would change the way voters can take power away from the politicians and go directly to a referendum. And I don't think that's likely. I don't think it's going to pass because the three sides won't agree on it. But this is something that we clearly want. Our major agenda is to create a third major party in the country, not another third party, but a third major party that will allow a candidate to use it as a vehicle that will speak, he or she will speak directly to the American people.
Thank you. Dan Cantor, it was fraught this year from everything I've been able to gather about the Working Families Party giving its endorsement to Democrat Andrew Cuomo. For one thing, he was calling for things like wage freezes on public employees, which is not what, you know, a lot of your members, which include members of a lot of the public employees unions, would like. On the other hand, from Cuomo's standpoint, when he's trying to run on being tough on spending in Albany, which is going to mean being tough on some of the public employees, he wasn't sure if he wanted to even take your nomination with what it represented to other New Yorkers. So how should we view that tension?
Sure. As a healthy one, you know, every year the WFP looks at the serious candidates who are running for office, looks at their records, and picks the one we think will fight hardest for working families, for middle-class families. This year, the choice couldn't have been easier. On the one hand, we have essentially a far-right fringe candidate who seriously should be disqualified. People who have looked at these emails he has sent, they're not just raunchy, they're grotesque and disgusting. And if the country weren't having a collective nervous breakdown, he would have been disqualified from the start. On the other hand, Andrew Cuomo, a man of tremendous experience and knowledge and skills, who we believe is poised to lead the state in a good direction. Do we agree on everything? No two people in politics agree on everything. But in the main, we are very confident that he's the right person for people to support. And we're hoping that people support him on our line as a way of signaling their desire to have him continue as a true progressive.
And Mike Long from the Conservative Party, you were quoted early on calling Carl Paladino a dangerous candidate. You were originally supporting Rick Lazio, but then when he was not the Republican nominee, you switched over to Carl Paladino. How wholehearted can anybody consider the conservative line support under those circumstances?
Well, look, I think there's no question I made some statements prior to Rick Lazio getting off our line. Rick had decided that he did not want to wear the mantle around his neck, being responsible for the guy who helped elect Andrew Cuomo for governor of the state of New York. One thing that both Carl Paladino, the Conservative Party, and also Rick Lazio agreed on was the fact that if, in fact, Andrew Cuomo gets elected governor of the state of New York, it will be business as usual. And I have full faith in my friend Dan Cantor and the Working Family Party. While I don't agree with anything they stand for, and they don't agree with anything I stand for, or the Conservative Party, I have full faith that they will apply their pressure to, if Cuomo gets elected, to continue to push progressive and liberal ideas to make sure that the campaign statements that has been made by Andrew Cuomo will not be enacted and we will have business as usual. So I have faith in Dan Cantor's philosophy, and I just want to make mention of the fact how important I believe, and I guess this would be a little disagreement with Frank, how important it is that parties really stand for something, not only on the social issues, on economic issues, that you have to have a platform and you have to represent what people are thinking. And I think the Democratic Party nationwide represents clearly the left. And I think the Republican Party nationwide clearly represents the right, both on economic and social issues. And I think it's important not to be vanilla. You just can't be vanilla in this world. And political parties have a responsibility to speak out on both economic and social issues.
Frank, come on back in. That was addressed to you.
Yeah, well, I'll just say this, that anyone who disagrees with how we feel about creating a non-ideological party, they're in luck because there's two well-funded major parties that are just waiting to have their vote, and they are dying to tell them how they should feel about social issues and every other issue. As far as things go, we also think that we're attracting more and more business folks from around the state. Small businesses make up a large part of New York State, and certainly the job market. 50% of jobs are created by small businesses in New York State, and I think we're attracting these folks more and more. I think Andrew Cuomo is going to be the strongest candidate and the strongest possibility of having a terrific opportunity to turn this around.
At what point does it just become about the party's existence or the patronage that comes from the party's existence rather than standing for anything? It wasn't that long ago that the New York State Liberal Party basically folded, and after it failed to get 50,000 votes for a gubernatorial candidate, but people had started to become very unclear on what the Liberal Party stood for. It was endorsing candidates like Giuliani and some other conservatives. It was endorsing some who were much more liberal, and it kind of, fuzzed up in the voters' minds as meaning anything. Now, Frank, Michael Bloomberg gave the Independence Party more than $1 million in the last election in 2009, so backing him looks like a smart monetary move. But there's also an investigation into the $750,000 paid to John Hagerty in Queens for a supposed get-out-the-vote effort, right, last year. So is it more about the money, more about just getting jobs for your people and work for your people at this point?
You're probably barking up the wrong tree here. We don't have an awful lot of patronage in the in the state or in any of the counties. We do, as all parties have patronage and folks work in government and so forth. But we are definitely not to the extreme of that. As far as Michael Bloomberg goes, I'll stand on my head and hope that Michael Bloomberg runs for president. And I don't care if there's a dollar involved or anything's involved. The idea that Michael Bloomberg could self-fund a presidential candidacy is relevant. But as far as anybody getting rich off of Michael Bloomberg, I haven't taken a salary in the state of New York, and certainly Michael Bloomberg is just clear and free, an excellent mayor, and he's someone who would make a wonderful president. I hope one day he runs for president. And as far as things go, I don't think we have a single job in his administration, to be honest with you.
Well, Tom Friedman in his New York Times column wrote the other day, quote, "I know of at least two serious groups, one on the East Coast and one on the West Coast, developing third parties to challenge our stagnating two-party duopoly." Are you that party on the East Coast? He's talking about?
I think that out of all the groups, and I've been to all 50 states in the last 3 years since we've been developing this, I think out of everyone in the United States, we are the strongest movement to create a third major party. Again, not another third party. And we are in touch with people in every state. We have delegates in every state. We need a candidate. And we have to call it what it is. Without a national candidate, we don't have a national party. So until that happens, we need to develop a ballot access plan for whenever he or she may come up. And when people say, well, does it have to be a billionaire or does it have to be a celebrity? I say, quite frankly, it helps. It helps, to be honest with you.
And Mike Long, on the party standing for something, which you just said is important, has the conservative party watered down what it stands for? I think it used to be much more strong on social issues like abortion and gay rights.
Yeah,
in terms of choosing your candidate, you went with Pataki in the 90s, even though he was pro-choice. You were going to go with Lazio this year, even though he was pro-choice.
Brian, let me quit. Like, all one has to do is go on our website and see our platform. Our platform hasn't changed one iota. As a matter of fact, we are the only political party that announces a platform every year, every February, the end of January, beginning of February.
But have you become more concerned with winning than with ideological purity?
No. Let me just say this. We don't have a litmus test. What we do have, that we do have certain litmus tests, that if you're for partial birth abortion, you can't get our endorsement. Where I have the power to execute, if you take the Working Family Party endorsement, you do not get the Conservative Party endorsement. While Pataki was pro-choice, he was correct on partial birth. He was correct on parental notification and parental consent, as was Rick Lazio. Okay, so we don't have a ultimate litmus test. Right. We prefer, if all I'm pro-life, the party is pro-life, we prefer our candidates to be pro-life.
Okay.
That's not always the case,
and
Brian.
We're over time, but Dan Cantor, last word, you and Mike Long asked the U.S. District Court to grant a preliminary injunction barring the State Board of Elections from enforcing the new double voting policy in the upcoming November election. In other words, with the new voting machines, it looks like it's going to be a little harder for people to actually wind up voting for Cuomo on your line or Palladino on his line, as opposed to Democratic or Republican lines.
Right. This may be the only thing Mike and I agree on, but it's important.
With
the new voting system, the sort of fill in the bubble, we're concerned that somebody might vote for Andrew on the Democratic line as well as the Working Families line because they want to show their deep support. The state counts that vote only for the major party. We think this is patently unconstitutional, and we're optimistic about getting signs in there or something. Minor parties allow voters to say more than they would otherwise say without throwing their vote away, a la Nader. If you're a Democrat who likes the, you know, the party of Bobby Kennedy and Paul Wellstone and Gloria Steinem, you vote Working Families. If you're a Republican who thinks Barry Goldwater got it right, you vote for Mike Long. And if you think the landlords have it right, you vote Independents.
All right. Frank McKay, I'm sure, doesn't like that characterization, but he is chairman of the Independence Party of New York State. Michael Long is chairman of the Conservative Party of New York State. Dan Cantor is executive director of the Working Families Party of New York State. The three major minor parties, we thank all of you for coming on the radio with us today as we look toward the November election. And by the way, folks, on Monday, which is the day of the one debate in the gubernatorial race, we are inviting all of the minor party candidates on the morning before that Monday night debate. And that's not just going to include the ones from these major minors. Well, they're not actually running their own candidates anyway. But we are inviting Charles Barron of the Freedom Party, Jimmy McMillan of the Rent is Too Damn High Party, Howie Hawkins of the Green Party. So we're going to have the minor party candidates forum one at a time here on Monday morning before they all go on stage at Hofstra on Monday night and debate as we continue to give everyone many points of view, voice in this election season. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.